You have a Bible with you this morning. If you'd turn with us over in the book of Mark's Gospel. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 5. I'd like to make a way of announcement right quick. Don't want to forget it, but having a baby tea this evening from Miss Christy Berry, 5 to 5:30 in the Fellowship Hall, new family in our church. Be sure you come by and show your kindness to them this evening, 5 to 5:30. I appreciate families going to have children to raise them up in an old-fashioned church. The Bible said in Mark 5 and verse number 1, thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God, because God's Word needs to be honored. They came over to the other side of the sea in the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him of the tombs a man. Not many people seen him that way, but he was a man with an unclean spirit. He had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, the chains had been plucked asunder by him. The fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying, cutting himself with stone. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him. He cried with a loud voice, said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God, or make an oath, that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, Sam, my name is Legion. That word means 3 to 6,000. For we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh in the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us in the swine that we may enter into them. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered in the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place in the sea. There about 2,000 were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. They went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. Had the legion sitting in clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And you better be careful what you pray for. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. He was come in the ship. He that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. And Jesus suffered him not, but said to him, go home to your friends. Tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Thank you for standing this morning. Father, we love you and we thank you for this time together. Lord, there's no preaching in me unless the Holy One comes down and touches me and gives me liberty this morning. I pray that you would bind every force of hell that's coming against this place. God, the lives of your people, help us now in the preaching I pray, Lord, you'd let us be a blessing to your people today. If it be one here lost, I pray you'd save them by your marvelous grace and your mercy. Help us now. In Jesus' name I ask you. Amen. And amen. We've been preaching in the thoughts of the miracles of the Master. We've covered several miracles that Jesus has done. And certainly we've seen the first miracle that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee at the great marriage ceremony. We've seen the feeding of 5,000. We've seen where Jesus not only had a first miracle and a feeding miracle, but he had a freeing miracle. There was a lady last week that was bent over double. She had a battered mind and a tormented body. We've seen how the devil can torment your mind, and it goes beyond the mind to the body and bend her low. But aren't you glad that Jesus come by and straightened her up? This man this morning, I'd like to preach out of this thought of a favorite miracle. It's one of my most favorite miracles that's in the Bible because I can relate to this man. I want to say that I've not always carried a King James Bible and I've not always wore a suit and tie on Sunday. I am reminded as I look out amongst this crowd today that we're people of like-minded many times, that if it hadn't been for the Lord, where would we have been? I was reminded this morning when our preacher friend got up and said God had introduced himself unto him through his wife in a little church. I'm glad God reached me in the same way. Way over yonder in the middle Tennessee country, God reached his hand in my life through the hand of a little girl from Bowden, Georgia. Bowden, Georgia is no place for many people. It's just a little spot that's holding Georgia and Alabama together. Somebody say amen right there this morning. But I'm glad God, in his providential hand, knew about a little girl that could run in my life so he could put his hand into me. Now I could go back and tell you I had a lot of times like Legion doing things that I really didn't want to be doing. I want to say, first of all, in the way of outline this morning, that there is a companion in the story. The Bible said, and they came over to the other side of the sea. Now, you'll notice in Mark 4, in the other miracle, there was a great forecast miracle there. Jesus spoke to the weather. There's a lot of boys talking about the weather, but honey, there's one that talked to the weather in Mark 4. He said, peace, be still. And they came across to the other side. And I want you to notice this. The Bible said in Mark 4 and 35, let us pass over unto the other side. And then in Mark 5 and 1, they came over to the other side. You say, well, preacher, what's so much about this companion? First of all, he rides on the yonder side. I'm glad that he rides on this side. So that tells me there's a God that's reliable on both sides. Thank God he owns both sides of the river. I'm glad that he's with you on that side. And he's with you on this side. Thank God we got a God that's on both sides. Unlike Muhammad, he's just on that side. Unlike Buddha, he's just on that side. But we got a God that's on that side and this side. I'm glad he's inside. Thank God there's a God that's not only on the outside, but he's on the inside this morning. Boy, there's a companion. I'm glad he said, lo, I'll be with you always. Man that has friends must show himself friendly. But young people, you always remember this. There is one that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, there's a companion in the story. Number two, there are some complications in the story. In verse number two, you'll notice this. When he's come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. In Matthew chapter number 8, the Bible says there were two men came out. It's not contradictory in the Word of God, but here Mark focused on one man, Legion. This man seemed to take Mark's mind and really grab him with the environment this man held himself in. I'm reminded that when you're in the ship with Jesus, when you're in fellowship or when you're in worship or when you're in friendship, it won't be long. The devil is going to hit you head on. But aren't you glad we serve a God that's over the devil business this morning? Now, it wasn't long as sailing with Jesus, they had some complications, had devil trouble. And the Bible said that there was a spirit, an unclean spirit in a man run out and met them. Reminds me of some Baptists I know. Somebody say amen right there. Certainly there are some complications. I've noticed this. I got to thinking, Brother Mike, about Legion and how the average church wouldn't have liked him. But I'm going to tell you, I love it when Legions get saved because they'll come to church. They'll get your parking place, friend. And they'll get where you've been sitting for 30 years in a pew because they don't know that it belongs to you. I love it when a legion gets saved and come in and sit right down in Sunday school. And they come sit right down on top of your place where you've been sitting 30 years. And you come out and look and say, well, you're around my stuff. They didn't know that you had no stuff. May God save every legion in Bowden, Georgia. And let us realize these are not our pews and it's not our windows. It's the God of glory that's still in the saving business this morning. I love it when legions get saved. They'll pull up and get your parking spot and didn't know that they wasn't supposed to park there. Somebody say amen right there. Look on up here and get you some preaching this morning. I'm going to tell you, I'm glad there were a companion, but I notice there's a complication. Now, I got to thinking about this man, Brother Mike. Where did he go wrong, Brother Gerald? Did he get around the wrong crowd? Let me tell you, young people, the power of influence is very dangerous. You'll get in the crowd with the wrong people, and they start to smoke the devil's weed, and they start to drink the world's booze, and before long, you're acting just like them. You better watch the power of influence. Mom and Daddy, you better watch where your young'uns are going. You better watch who they're riding with. I'm nobody's dummy this morning. I've been there, done that, wore the t-shirt out. You better know where your young'uns is at and what they're doing. And you that are 13 and 12 and 14, guess what? You don't know nothing. Honey, your bread ain't even done yet. Amen. You better thank God He's put a mom and daddy in your life that's wanting to raise you right and they're interested in where you're at on a Friday night at midnight. Your young'un don't belong in the Piggly Wiggly parking lot at midnight. There's critters running around at midnight. And don't tell me, well, he's a good little old boy. He's a boy. Say amen right there, you little henpecked-looking rascal. Megan and Macy, you know they'd bring them cute little boys, little hotties up to the house. Oh, but Daddy, he's a good boy. I said, yeah, but he's a boy. I didn't like boys much when I was raising girls. Amen. But I want to ask you, Mom and Daddies, wonder where Legion went wrong. I wonder, was he raised in a church where the people would love on each other. And I wonder, was he raised around a place where the altar was open and somebody would come in and pray? I wonder, was he raised around old-fashioned singing and preaching? I want to say this, if he was or if he was not, I can tell you this, he had better of a chance of meeting Jesus in an environment like this than if he was not in an environment like this. I thank God for our young people. And I'm going to tell you, as your preacher, if I didn't love you, I wouldn't preach right to you. I'd be a little hireling, shake your little hand, hug and kiss your babies and wish you a good Sunday evening. But it's about time somebody pulled the ears back on the mule and said, sin is still sin and there are consequences to sin. And brings me to my third point. Not only is there a companion, but there's some complications. Complication of safety, but number two, there's a complication about sin. You know, I've noticed this, every addiction I've ever had, and I've had too many, it started from having one. I've never liked nothing being over me. I've never liked being in bondage with nothing. And I'm going to tell you, we that are saved ought to have one Lord and one Master, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, there is a price to pay to walk with God. There's a price to pay to have a church where God walks through. Therefore, you'll notice, I don't know where the boy went wrong, but I've noticed this, we don't have to look for trouble. Trouble will come looking for us. Listen, young people, get in a good church where they're preaching right, where they love you. Get under your mom and daddy's wisdom. Get under their table and stay under there just as long as you can stay there. Because this life is hard. And this life brings trouble. And you young people, I told Renee this week, we'd went and seen Doyle Lawson and the something. I enjoyed it as long as they sang in gospel, amen. I loved it. And I got to thinking, I said, Renee, you know, the time of our life when we was with mom and daddy's going to places together, I looked around at older people, Brother Dave. Me and her was about the youngest people in the building. And I got to thinking, you know, we didn't know what a life we had, how good it was, little old young'uns following a godly mom and daddy into places of good, clean living. Go out one time a month and get a hamburger down at the Big Chef and an apple pie. Somebody say amen right there. And honey, I'm going to tell you, we had a mom and daddy that loved us and schooled us and trained us and paddled our backside when we needed it. I want to ask you something this morning. Where did it go wrong with Legion? Maybe he began to play with sin. And young people, you listen to the man of God this morning. You play with sin, it won't be long. Sin will be playing you. You hear me and hear me well. This thing of complications of sin, first of all, it brought great disturbance. They ran unto the Lord. And then in verse 3, this sin brought great discontentment. You'll notice he had his dwelling among the tombs and no man could bind him, no, not with chain. You know, a lot of times you think, well, if I could just get that, I'd be happy. No, you won't. Only peace comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you'll notice in verse 5, not only his discontentment, but his duration. The Bible said in verse 5, and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. The duration, always. You know, sin is a never-ending cycle. Sin is a revolving door. It never stops. Night and day, night and day, he was tormented by the wickedness of the devil. Somewhere or another, young people, this man had got around some devils and they had possessed him. Matter of fact, he had more than one issue. He had from 2,000 to 6,000 issues. Could you imagine a man that demon possessed? We see his duration. Then we see his disfigurement. He was always cutting himself with stones. Reminds me of these. Reminds me of these piercing shops set up. Seen a little girl waited on us the other day. And she, man, hey, young man, why would you want to put something in your ear? I seen Brother Jody Harrison sent me a picture this way. There's a boy. He had something looked like big around as silver dollars in each ear lobe. Had toothpicks run all through his head. I mean, he had safety pins with his eyes closed down. He was all tatted up. You couldn't even see him. And he walked in a job interview and he come back and said, well, they didn't hire me. Hello? Listen, young people, it's still right to wear your britches up. Still right to wear your britches up. Still right to say yes, sir, no, sir. And listen to me, I know it's children that they've got on the wrong path in life and they find themselves there tormenting themselves, cutting the flesh. Isn't that amazing how young people just destroying their bodies? Oh, I know it's fashion and I know it's culture. But honey, let me tell you something. If I had as much stuff hung in my head as some folks do, I'd be getting to the doctor. Amen. God never intended us to look like we were some freaks in a sideshow. Amen. His disfiguration. And then his dress. When Jesus saved him, the Bible said he was clothed in his right mind. Look out now. Look out now. Why is it when hot weather comes, people wants to get acting crazy how they dress? Don't you know if you'd put some clothes on, it'd reflect the sun? Amen. That's deeper than some y'all know. Honey, it's bad when you come to the altar and somebody got to throw a blanket over you, cover your little hind end up. Oh, look, don't look down. Look on up here now. I'm not in evangelism this morning. I'm preaching more a pastor. Listen to me now. Your mama say, well, I can't find nothing for my young'uns to wear. Well, you shopping at the wrong place. Do like my mom said, go to Cato's. Somebody say amen right there. My mom said, I won't go down to Cato's. So they got them longer skirts. You say, why you preach that? Because we got men go to church here. Because we got men go to church here. That's why. And so that's why we got to be careful. But anyhow, it's amazing to me. We ought to honor God. You know, the contemporary churches, they done gone to the sloppiest looking dress. Coming in looks like they come off the beach. Let me tell you something. You ain't got to wear a tie here. You, matter of fact, I wished I was preaching in overalls this morning, but my wife won't let me. I'm just going to fess up. She said, you ain't aware, you not going to look like that in front of them people. You're just not going to do that and me going to be there. I get to next Sunday after Easter, old-fashioned day. Praise God, I'm wearing my Pointer brand overalls. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. I don't care what you wear to this church, just cover up your nakedness. Amen. And you fellas, you can wear your jeans and your polo shirt. You ain't got to wear a tie to come to this church. Just cover up yourself. Amen. Cover up yourself. Amen. And let's be Christian people. And I know you can wear your dresses to the ground. I know you can wear a tie and that don't make you a Christian. I know all of that. But you know, we're representing a God at our church, and we ought to look different than the world. And let me say something right here. You listen to me, young people. As long as I'm the pastor here, you're not going to have to wash cars to go do something on a trip.
Amen. Amen.
They're not going to put your girls in a T-shirt and wet them down in a water hose on this church property and look like a wet T-shirt at the back. Listen to me this morning. That ain't a happening where we go to church at Liberty Baptist Church. We don't got to ask the world to take care of our young people. If God's people will pay their tithes and give their offerings, it'll be enough to run the lights and see about the young people. And I thank the Lord for good, godly people. And this is where churches go wrong. Well, I ain't got nothing to wear to church. Well, let me ask you this, hon. If you can cover yourself up, you got enough to wear to church.
Right.
Sir, ain't no sense you coming in with your shirt undone. Yeah. Looking like Matt Dillon, you're going to draw a gun any minute. I mean, you ain't near as bad as you think you bad. Amen. I mean, you think you God's gift to Bowden. Somebody going to say amen right there. You need to brush your grill, say amen. But I'm telling you this morning, I don't know where he got on the wrong track, but aren't you glad they somebody called Jesus that loved him? I've heard people say, well, I can't believe you're going to go and preach to them people. The prison revival the other week, there's a lady asked me, she came here a little while, and she said, I can't believe you'd go preach to prisoners. I said, hon, listen, the only reason that I ain't there, I just didn't get caught years ago. And you know yourself, you fellas and you ladies have done enough. If you'd have got caught, you wouldn't be where you are this morning. It's for the grace of God that has loved us and helped us and took care of us. Complications. Has anybody got complications? I've never liked anything taking control of me. And then you'll notice this about sin. Now, you always remember this, and I'll move on about sin. Not only disfigurement and not only defilement and dress and the duration, discontentment, but you look in verse number 7. He did something that he didn't fool Jesus in verse 6. The Bible said he saw Jesus far off. He ran worshiping. And he cried with a loud voice, said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not, or make an oath. And he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. In other words, sin brings distance. He didn't want to be close to Christ. He wanted to be away from him. And I'm going to tell you what sin will make you do. Sin will make you miss your church. Sin will make you miss reading your Bible. Sin will bring distance between you and your God. Let me tell you something. It's not because your preacher's boring. And it's not because your preacher says things that you don't like while you don't like to come to church. It's sin, and it brings distance in our lives to God. Anytime I have sin in my life, the last thing I want is God around reminding me of how sinful I am. But you ought to be glad there's a church in Bowden, Georgia that you can come to you and it bothers you how you're living. If it don't bother you how you're living when you come here, somebody's dropped the ball in the pulpit. And I'm going to tell you something, Mom and Daddy, is this may be the last time you come to this church, but I want to say this. If any preacher loves you, he's going to tell you right in love out of his heart. I'd rather you be mad at me a little bit and try to steer your youngins right. Preaching's like what Grandpa used to say of worming them calves. No, he had a big old worm pill big as an Easter egg, and he'd get me to put them little calves in a headlock and he'd poke them down their neck. And then he'd get a bottle of Wesson oil and he'd just salge them down the neck with it. I said, Paul, what you doing? He said, son, it's just too big, but if I can get it down him, it'll help him. You hear me this morning? If you can just get preaching down you, it'll help you in your life. But there were some complications. I want to ask you now in closing. Where did he go wrong? What happened? There may be some of you here this morning and your lifestyle is just like Legion. You're doing things you really don't want to be doing. Everybody's tried to straighten you out. Your wife, your girlfriend, your mama, your daddy, your husband, your friends. They've tried to help you, but no man could tame him. But he met Jesus. I'm glad Jesus can make the difference. Oh, I'm so glad. So that brings me to the third point. Watch this. The companion and the complication, but then the commandment in verse number 8. And the Bible said, he said unto them, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. You know what affects any devil? Is the Word of God. You know what affects all of our trouble in our life? Is the Word of God. Let me ask y'all something this morning. Why do y'all think that most Baptist churches, the devils took the Word of God out of them churches? They got new Bibles now, don't read like our Bible. They quit preaching, gone to dramatizing, entertainment. Why wouldn't the devil want to get this out of my hand? There's power in this Word. This Word's still right. And you know something? It looks like that our prison system could see that. He said no man could tame him. He had broke all the fetters. I noticed all them prisoners I preached to the other week. You know, the world thinks that just locking up is the answer and the call. And reformatory. No, it's the Word of God. There was a gang member that was... He had tats from his ears to his ankles. I mean, he had the codes. And let me tell you something. I'm not here bashing people this morning. I'm just telling you where you can get on the wrong track in this world. And there's a God in heaven that loves you and loves me and saves us in spite of who we are and what we become. This grown man, Brother Marlin, nailed down by me. I said, sir, what do you need? He said, I need the Lord to save me. Let me tell you something. Incarceration didn't do that. They had him locked up. No man could tame him. But the Word of God in that prison changed his life. Did you know in the school system where this man went and preached? Did you know I've seen this with my own eyes in Philippines? I walked out on a platform. The principal grabbed a bullhorn and handed it to me and told 1,000 ninth and tenth graders, listen to this preacher. He's going to tell you about his God from America. The Word of God went in that place. I'm telling you what. Young people came to the altars. They came old-time Holy Ghost conviction, weeping their way to God. And you know what them young people told your preacher when I got ready to get on that van and pull out of that parking lot? I had little girls, young girls, grab me by my suit coat and said, please don't leave us, preacher. The Word of God helped them. The Word of God will help us. Jesus made a commandment and he gave his word to him. And then all of a sudden, not only the commandment, we see a commotion. I love it when Jesus comes on the scene. Church quits being dead. I'm glad I can go to a church where Jesus is and there's great commotions for his honor and glory sometimes. You say, preacher, I'd come back to your church, but it's too loud. I don't know you want to go to heaven. Preacher, you're too emotional. You make me cry. Oh, I'm sorry, hon. I need to set my heart. I ain't aiming for your head. I'm aiming for your heart. Great commotion. All of a sudden, Jesus gave them leave. They went into the swine. I like what one old man said. He said, hey, preacher, that's the first swine flu in the Bible. Somebody say amen right there. They run in the depths of the sea. Choke them, drown them. Great commotion. I notice then, not only a commotion, there's a complaint. Wouldn't it be amazed somebody didn't want Jesus in their church? Look what the complaint was in verse 16. I want to say this. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. You see, they thought more about pigs than they did people. They thought more about hogs than they did humans. Reminds me of this liberal crowd that we live in America. They holler about that it's legal to kill babies. And so let's ban our guns. Amen. They think more of hogs than humans. Save a turtle. Kill 55 million babies. Reminds me of the religious Pharisees in America this morning. They want just a little bit of religion, but they don't want Jesus in the midst because Jesus will cause a great commotion. Hey, Sherry, you come this morning. Their complaint. Boy, ain't it bad when people love hogs more than humans. I've got a last point. I want to preach on it tonight. There was also a commission. But I want to deal with this right now. I want to ask you something. Young people, you know what I'd love to see you do this morning? I'd love to see you gather around this altar. Pray one for another. Ask God to keep you pure, keep you clean, keep you in the right crowd. Let me tell you something, young people. I'm burdened about you this morning. Brother Mike told me right this week. I'm not saying this to try to get on your emotions. I'm just telling you where I live. I fight the devil every day of my life. Brother Mike said, "Preacher, me and you ain't got long left here. We better be training some up to take our place when we leave out." Young people, don't get on the wrong track. And then secondly, young people, you and older people that are on the wrong track, I'm going to tell you, there's hope in Jesus. His Word can do something for you that nothing else could do. What a Lord that loves us and cares. Sir, I'm going to tell you something. I've been where you are, smoking your dope, doing your pills, going to all the bad places. And I'm going to tell you something. Everybody tried to straighten me out, but nobody could ever straighten me out till I met Jesus. I still got issues. I still got opportunities. But listen to me. I'm not what I used to be. I'm saved by the marvelous grace of God. And ma'am, sir, did you know the Lord would save you this morning? If you just trust Him by faith and come to Him and ask Him to take everything in your life, He'd forgive you of everything you've ever done. Because I'm going to tell you something. He loves you. And eternity's too long to be wrong. Mom and Daddy, when's the last time a preacher's told you young'uns, if they don't get saved, the Bible says they go to hell? You better trust Christ to be your Savior. Because He loves you. He died for me and you. He died for everybody. Some of you young people, I want you to come and pray for others and pray for each other. You need each other. You're living in an environment that many of us never had to live in. But I'm going to tell you something. We're here as a church to help you and love you this morning. Whatever you need in your life, I want you to come gather around this altar. Come on, I want you to come. Our sister's playing. I want you to gather around this altar. Here today and you need some help in your life, I want you to come.